pray with me. We're going to give thanks today. I want everyone to know right off the bat, nobody here is fatherless. Nobody here is fatherless. And sometimes when we hit Father's Day, some of us start looking and going, hey, you know, my dad didn't come through, or my mom didn't come through, or I didn't have this, or I didn't have that. Those are real stories. And I'm sorry for anybody that went through that. I'm sorry for anybody in this room today that didn't have a father that stepped up. But you know what? We're here today for a real reason. And if this is your first time here at Hillview, I want to kind of give you our philosophy. Now, it's going to be counter to everything you heard on NBC and Fox News and ABC. It's going to be counter to that because they want to excuse you for what you don't have. That's their report. At Hillview, we want to build a solution in the name of Jesus Christ. And see, there's a lot of you, if you're coming into this fatherhood thing, and you're going to step up. Single mothers, I want to let you know, for those of you that are in Jesus Christ, you don't go it alone. Jesus Christ is right there with you. But I also want you to know something else. You have a church in Bowling Green, Kentucky called Hillview Heights Church. And we're going to do our best, especially you guys got these young boys, all right? There comes a point in time that every young boy needs a man in his life. And mamas can only do so much. But guess what? So we got to have a church. We got to have a church that steps up to the fatherless. We got to step up to the fatherless. And 11 o'clock, I want to tell you about some passions. I'm going to talk about three passions of fatherhood today. And I just want to thank you guys for being great fathers. Now, you guys know, men, you know, I'm going to ask you to step it up. I'm going to ask you to man up in the name of Jesus. You all know that I don't have a high regard for sissies. How many of y'all know that? I don't. Because listen, I don't want you to go to heaven one day and you stand before the Lord and the Lord look at you and say, you know what? I made you a man and you chose to be a sissy. Here's what a sissy is. You step back and you step out of your responsibility and you sit there and wonder about how you're going to be happy and how you're going to be blessed and how this. Come on, guys. Somebody messed you up in junior high. There comes a day that you become a man. A man. And I've never heard any real men ask this question, whether I'm happy or not. Men get things done. And men encounter things that are difficult, and guess what? They walk through difficult things, and they make sure others are blessed. Now, I want to start there. Fathers give and bless. It's a responsibility of father. So guess what? Nobody in here is fatherless, because if you decide to let Jesus Christ in your life, what's the first thing you get?
A father.
A father. How many of y'all need a father today? How many of y'all have this great news in your life? No matter how crazy life gets, you can go, Daddy, Daddy, who art in heaven. Father, Father, our Father who art in heaven. God, it's gotten crazy down here, but I know you are with me. Thou art with me. You are the rod, the staff that comforts me. My Father who art in heaven. So I want y'all to know, what we really need is a happy Father's Day to the Father of Fathers. And that's God Almighty. Now go with me to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to bring out three things today, and I hope that these will catch in your life. These three things. First about fatherhood is this. I just want you to know, it's important to have fathers in your life. If your biological father didn't do a really good job, don't mess up, don't freak out. I just want you to know that your pastor was fathered by a man that was not biologically connected. I'm an adopted son, and I just want you to know, in my opinion, all this biology is way overrated. I have found this, and guess what? I act just like my father. I've got my father's principles in him because he fathered me. Now, it's easy to make a baby. You can make a baby without the Holy Spirit. We got a lot of people in the baby making business, but we don't have a lot of people in the parenting business. And you see, if you decide to be a father, that means you're going to decide to be a parent and you're going to be a father. And here's the first thing fathers do. You ready? They give. They give understanding, they give truth, they give character, they give wisdom. Now, some of you young men, I want you to head up on this, and I really want you to realize before you have a child, you got to be ready to bless that child. That's father. The day a child fell into my arms, I realized everything had changed. Because it was no longer about what I wanted to do, but it was everything about what he was going to do. A father gives. That makes sense? They give you some lineup. A father equips. Now look at Luke chapter 15. Jesus tells this great, wonderful story about a father. He said a father had two sons. And he blessed those sons. And these two sons had opportunity. So let me tell you, three responsibilities. Fathers, give opportunity to your sons. I want every one of you young men and women to have opportunity. I praise God that every one of you have been given opportunity. Okay? Now heads up and just hear me out here. Hear me out here. Be very careful before you go blasting the United States of America about the opportunities it does not have. Because let me tell you what we are. We're a bunch of daggum spoiled brats. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of y'all that were making F's when you were 13 years old because you didn't want to pay attention, if you'd have been in Asia, they would have already sent you to broom pushing school. And you wouldn't have had a decision to make about that. But you know what? We're willing in America to be patient enough for people to come along and eventually get it. I don't know too many other cultures like that. Do you? I don't know too many cultures that pay on the government's dole for 12 years of education. What got us silent, didn't it? See, in America, we're so stinking spoiled with opportunity, we take for granted a high school education where the rest of the world would kill for it. And I coach kids on a daily basis that could care less about it. To fathers, though, guess what they do? They make sure there is opportunity. I want you to know there's opportunity in the house. And this father gave his kids opportunity. Look, a father had two sons. He raised these two sons. He equipped these two sons. He provided for these two sons. He gave provision to the two sons. But one of the sons wanted his. How many of y'all want yours? I want mine now. I want what's coming to me. How many of y'all want what's coming to you? Used to. How many of y'all glad now to get what God will grace you with? That's a big difference, isn't it? Well, guess what? Fathers, equip your children. Dads, I'm proud. Man, a lot of y'all doing a great job. Here's one way you can equip your children this week. How many of y'all have heard at 9 o'clock in the morning and at 6 o'clock in the evening, Monday through Thursday, there's going to be vacation Bible school? You know what I wish? I wish you were as committed to that as you were soccer camp. And basketball camp. And football camp. And jumping jacks camp. And ballerina camp. And frog gigging camp. Whatever other camp there is this summer. I can count on my hand the last 50 years there's been 5 pro ball players come out of Warren County, Kentucky. This is not a haven for pro ball players. This is not Florida. It's Bowling Green. We think of 4-5-40s fast. Down there in Florida, that's called common. That's called everyday. Watch this. Can you imagine just dream with me a minute. What if fathers were as committed to their spiritual equipping of their sons and daughters as they were to their athletic ability? Now, let me just show you some things. I hear people say like this, oh, gosh, that costs $20 to go to the church. And they're having a cow. And they pay $650 for 3 days of running camp. You give me that kid, I'll run him for free. Fathers do what? Equip. Now, men, listen, I love you, man. Guess what a daddy does? You make sure your wife and your children have opportunity. You got it? Young men that are dating, start practicing by giving and being a giving type person to the people you date. And by the way, women like that. True, ladies? Y'all help me out. Now look, ladies, here you had an opportunity to go amen, supercharge your husband. Y'all went like this. And guess what? When we men see that, we go, well, I guess that ain't important. Now, I want y'all to know we got to give. Now look what happens here. This father gave. Go with me to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And here's what happens. Jesus said this. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Now here's what I want you to know. He gave each one of his sons opportunity. He divided his property. Now guess what? When you become a father, you're more concerned about your children having than you are your own life being blessed. Now that's part of fatherhood. So fathers, I'm going to challenge you to give and equip. Now young fathers, hear me. It's not about your happiness. I mean, men that talk like that, I bet wear Snoopy underdrawers too. I mean, how soft can you be? You know who wrote all those books about what a man was supposed to be like? Take a guess. Go read the authors. Women! Women wrote books on what men were supposed to be like. How they know? That would be a man. Thank you, little preacher. Watch this. That would be as foolish on me writing a book on how women were supposed to be. I don't know. But I know our responsibility. We got to equip. Y'all getting this today? How many of you men really willing to be equippers and evaluate that in your life, guys? This father gave his son something. Well, one of the sons, the younger son, you know what he said? I want mine right now. So guess what the father did? He gave it to him. So fathers, give to your children. And thank you, because I see a lot of you giving to your children. This week, I want to give you an example. Give them characteristics that they will remember forever. Now watch this. I tithe, and I've never missed tithing a check in my whole life. Guess why? My father. I didn't know you didn't tithe. You know why? My father's a man that believes in God, and I grew up with a Christianity that looked like this. My dad never had bumper stickers on his car. He didn't run around with a bunch of hokey suit pins on his suit that said, I follow Jesus. He didn't run around telling everybody about his faith, and he didn't make a big production about prayer. Guess what he did? Lived out his faith. And I remember when I was like 12 years old, man, I made my first paycheck. Back when I was 12 years old, we didn't have video games. We had hay balers. And that's what we did in the summer. And I'd haul some hay, and I'd gotten big enough to flip it up on the first run. And I came home, I had made $21. As a 12-year-old. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, $21, 12 years old, late 70s, you were rich. I came home, I said, Daddy, $21. He said, you got to tithe that. So what you talking about? Because see, in my family, they gave you an offering to go to church. I mean, we were church-going family, and they give you 2 quarters. In fact, let me tell you how bad I was. Can I just tell you how bad your pastor was? When I was going down to the First Baptist Church, probably 8 or 9 years old, I want you all to know, I scarfed God's offering. I go to church, and I start shaking that envelope, and I realize there's 2 quarters in there. And on my way into the church building, I figured out how to open that envelope and slide those 2 quarters out into my pocket. I mean, when that scripture says over in Malachi, will you rob God? I say, I did. I took that 50 cents, I put it in my pocket, and I just gave God the envelope. Hey, I was figuring 8, 9 years old, God had a big old church down there, had a stained glass dome. He had gold carpet. He could survive on an envelope. I didn't know this, though. They had an accountant in our Sunday school class. Somebody counted the offering. And somebody mentioned to my father that my offering was missing. After about 6 weeks, my father came up. He said, you've been stealing the offering? I said, Dad, it's probably a deacon down there at the church. I've been turning mine in. I don't know what's going on. One of them crooked deacons in the Baptist church stealing the money. And I pulled open my drawer, and guess what it was? About $5, $6 worth of offerings sitting there. That didn't turn out real good, but it was a memorable father experience. Well, my first check, my dad said, man, we tithe unto the Lord because that's a principle that I believe in. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to do what Jesus says. Now, if you're not going to follow Jesus, don't do what he says. You see where my faith, I'm 12 years old. Guess what? I didn't have a daddy that danced. I had a daddy that faith. I didn't have a daddy that stand up and gave some grandiose testimony and you couldn't find him on Friday night. I had a daddy that was the same daddy on Sunday morning as he was on Friday night, as he was on Wednesday afternoon, and that daddy followed God. And now let me help you. I didn't like him a whole lot. Made me give my offering back. So the next Sunday I walked in not with an envelope, with a bag. And then he made me find some more money and pay up interest. What was he teaching me? You're going to square up what God said. $21, he made me tithe. He looked at me, he said, you know what a tithe is? I said, well, I heard in Sunday school it was a tenth. He said, you know how to figure a tenth? I said, no. He said, you're telling the truth too. So we sat there and figured out a tenth. $2. 10 cents. Done broke my check below 20. I said, Daddy, you mean God? I said, I just give 50 cents. It's $2.10 in one offering. He said, that's a tithe. That's a tenth. And I'm going to even tell you how I walked the offering in. I'm sitting there. I had my polyester J.C. pennies. Lime green leisure suit on. Leonard, 6-button wide collar, silk chocolate car shirt on. Reading some of y'all laughing, you dressed just like this at one time. And I had the high platform heels on too. Remember, you just stacked, look like, yeah, with the foam rubber on the heel. Lime green leisure suit, chocolate car shirt, button down with no chest hair at age 12. Now I had that offering in, my leisure suit. Came offering time. You know what kind of plates they had at First Baptist? Gold. It's really brass, but I'm thinking $2.10. And I've been used to just, this is like four offerings at one time. My daddy said, if you're going to follow him, you got to do what he's. Here's the way I gave my offering. I didn't care if God loved a cheerful giver or not that day. Taking $2.10. Guess what happened the next check I made? I tithe. And the next check, and the next check, and the next check, and the next check. Elizabeth, we get married. I said, Elizabeth, put all that together. Come here, honey. See, I thought I knew something. Of course, Elizabeth had taken calculus. Because I was going to show how smart a man she married. I said, look, honey, this is 10% of what we made this week. She said, we're going to give that. I said, we got to. She said, why? I said, I ripped God off before. It ain't a good thing. We got to pay him up. You know what? I'm just telling you, in our lives, Elizabeth, did we ever miss it? And we didn't have any money when we got married. Elizabeth married me for my looks. I didn't have a dime. Y'all believe that? Y'all really need to come to the altar today. We just had each other and God. And guess what? God brought us through. When we had Blake, we still didn't have any money. So how are we going to pay for him? Week by week. And then we had Clacy. We still didn't have any money. And after we got Clacy, we don't even ever have the possibility of having any money now. And guess what? God takes care. Amen. So I give you that lesson to tell you this. My father equipped me with character through that moment. Does that make sense? So that's what it means to follow. That's what it means to give. That's what it means to stay with it even when it's not popular. Second thing is this, fathers long for the best in their children. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be tough. You can bring your children to church. You can raise them up in the ways of the Lord, and they can still raise hell. Amen. I mean, I'm just going to be that honest with you. Because I know a lot of y'all brokenhearted. You took your kids to church all their life. You wanted to do good. You read Bible stories to them. You let them listen to Christian music, and they ended up running the bars. You know why? They have free will, and that'll never be removed. Now, here's what I want you to know, though. You say, well, then why should we spend all this time? Listen, what are your children going to rebel from? You see, if they have no point of rebellion, then they get lost in space. When they're raised in a home that is committed to God, even if they go wayward, they know how to get back. How many of y'all are fathering in such a way that your children know where the house is? They know where home is. They know how to get what? Back. Because people will wander off. Look what this boy did. He wandered off. Look what it says. He got what he asked for and he wandered off. Read the scripture right here. Guess what it says? The scripture says that he took what his father gave him and he squandered it in wild living. Squandered his wealth in wild living. How many of y'all knew that was in the Bible? Wild living. MTV spring break kind of living. This boy had a wad of money and went to Panama City. Any of y'all ever been there? He came trailing in with a little bling bling on his camel's hump. Yep. He had a new, you know, he was shining, probably had some chains rolling. He had a little money in his pocket, and he arrived in a distant country. Well, if you got some money, a nice ride, what's next? How come every guy is silent? All three of these services, when I've asked this question, all the men are sitting there going like that. I ain't saying that out loud. But all the women are going, women are next. We are next. Because let me tell you what's going to happen, preacher. We're going to get that money out of pocket. We're going to do that. That's why, men, if you stay broke, one of them will have to love you. Amen. There's some advantages to broke. Look at here. He wastes his opportunity. Hold on. Now, let's not get condemning. How many of you all have wasted an opportunity before? You see, fathers, here's where I want you to stay positive. Your job as a father is to long, Doc, for the best in your family. Because you know where I think this father was parked? At the end of the driveway every day. Where's my son? Elizabeth, we went through this. We had to let our eldest son, he had to leave. They leave. Kids leave. How many of y'all realize kids leave? They leave. But then they come back. And they come back. But they leave. And then they come back. And they leave again. And then they, welcome to America. All right, now watch. But hold on. When we left, Elizabeth be laying there on Friday night, be late Friday night. She'd look at me and she'd go, what do you think Blake's doing? I didn't tell her. I didn't tell her. Because as soon as she would say that, I would let my mind roll back to when I was 19, 18. When I let my mind roll back to when I was 18, I said, dear God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And so finally, I just looked at her one night, and she said, what do you think Blake's really doing? I said, honey, you dated me all through high school, college. I'd say he acts a whole lot like me. She said, that did not bring me a bit of comfort whatsoever. I said, you know what I know, Elizabeth? I said, we got to hold hands and pray, and we got to long for the best. But you see, you make a move, fathers. After you equip and give, you got to have faith that God's going to come through when your children are in a distant country. Amen? But here's what I want to tell you, parents. This is where I want to love on you guys. We got to step up to the plate and make sure that our children have opportunity to get a foundation. And here's how big it is. Here's how big it is. I'm going to encourage you guys. Listen. We're building a hole. It's foundation. Right now, we're building a foundation for a building, and it's for nothing but kids. Guess what? We're going to have it paid off, too. I won't hear any different. I don't want to hear about gas prices. We're going to pay off this building and tell the terrorists. Now what are you going to do? You didn't stop God's building? Guess where that building payoff is? It's in the $5 and $10 bills that are in your pocket. But guess what? You all believe your $2 don't make a difference. Y'all believe your $1 don't make a difference. You don't believe what God could do with you make a difference. We're going to build a foundation in these kids. I believe it. I believe it. And I want y'all to start believing it with me. I'm tired. I want to be an old man with some good news. What about you, Doc? I want to be an old man with some good news. I'm tired. Man, I've been in ministry for 26 years. If I was in the Army, I'd already be able to get out. I could retire. 20 and out. John Paul, you know what I'm tired of doing? I'm tired of seeing 40-year-old human beings who grew up in a church casually, not committedly, casually, having 20 to 30 years of life beat out of them. Parents, I'm going to really encourage you guys, get a foundation in your kids. And I encourage you to do this. When they say, "We don't want to go to church," look at them with all love in your heart and say, "What jumped into you thinking I care what you felt? I don't care what my kid feels. I know some of y'all disagree with me. I'll see y'all in therapy." I don't know about y'all, but I made my dirty little old 4-year-old son take a bath. And he was kung fu fighting me, telling me he didn't want to take a bath. I get in the tub, you dirty. I built a what? Foundation. I don't ask 12-year-olds what they want to do. I tell them what to do. And guess what they really do? Appreciate that. Father longing for the best for his kids. You know what? I did not always like my father. And I always loved my mom because no matter what, I was good. How many of y'all had a relationship? My mom loved me no matter what. I mean, I said, "Mama, they're picking on me at church." "Oh, honey, that's awful." My dad, I said, "Dad, they're picking on me." "Oh, come on, son, get something about you. Lord have mercy. Quit whining around here." I'm glad I grew up with a father and not a therapist. Because I needed a father in my life. I didn't need someone that could create an idea to excuse me for what I just did. I'm glad I had a father that said, "It hurts. And life hurts. And life's unfair. And there are places that it's quite haunting. But now let me tell you about the Father in heaven. It was unfair for him, unjust for him, irreconcilable, but he went through so you and I could come on. And so now walk with him, and he'll take you through the tough places. Even when it's a pig lot." This child ended up in a pig lot. I pray to God, and I really do pray to God, and I hope in agreement. I want you all to pray that we keep our kids out of the pig lot here at Hillview. Is that okay? Let's keep them out of the pig lot. Watch this. Kids, you don't have to go experiment in the pig lot. I hear this all the time. "Well, I need to experiment with this so I'll know what it's like." It stinks. Here's what drugs do. They mess up your mind. You don't have to do the first one. They mess up your mind. If you see people now in their 40s going like this, drugs. If you see people that drink a whole lot and abuse alcohol, here's what they look like. "Hey, y'all got a dollar? You got a dollar?" You know what happened to them? They drank their brains out. Now, I know some of you are going to go, "How could a loving God allow this to happen?" Because the loving God put in the opportunity for salvation and redemption and a new life. And loving people refuse the Father. And when you refuse the Father, you'll end up in the pig lot. I always have. Watch this. If I'd have done what my dad told me to do right now, I one time I calculated and I stopped halfway through the calculation. Watch this. If I had done what my father told me to do financially, I wouldn't have much worries right now. But guess what I did? I pulled the Frank Sinatra. "I did it my way." And I got the visa out and ended up in the pig lot with a lot of nice stuff. But you know, stuff's no fun when you can't live in it. Wow. Fathers, when your children hit the pig lot, this is my question of the day. Have you created a house where your babies can come home? Day-day, I love this right here. When Jesus started looking at the Father, he said, let me tell you what a real father's like. Let me tell you what a real man's like. A father. And even when that child hits the pig lot, the Father's house is better than the pig lot. Amen. How many of you all are raising your children in a house where the hired people are treated better than the people in the pig lot? See, here's why, young generation, listen. I'll never pick on y'all. If I was at your age at this moment of time, I would be as confused as you. Because you've had no models of real leadership. None. Zilch. Everybody's on the run. On the Gallup poll. Smiling. But nobody's standing. This father stands at the end of the driveway longing for the best for his son. Man, I wonder who God's talking about. Come on, church. Who's he talking about? And he sees his son, and his son's got this line. He's coming out of the pig lot, and the son's going to say, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Guess what the father said? When that young boy said, I'm no longer worthy. Worthy of being called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. Father, don't ever treat your children like an employee. Got it? That's your what? Son. That's your daughter. Here's how you welcome them. Fathers, heads up. When your children do great things, you need to celebrate their great things. Here's one of the things I see in fathering that really kills children. I see this in athletics all the time. Fathers, just be heads up and honest. If you weren't real athletic, you didn't pass down a lot of athletic DNA, okay? That's the problem. When you look at your son and go, man, I wonder why he can't do that. Watch, let me help you. There's the reason. You standing with it. And watch this. Why don't you celebrate what they do right? I've coached all my life, and I get so brokenhearted when I see the little kid that hits a triple in Little League. And when he goes back to see his father can only say, why wasn't it a home run? You see, if you can't celebrate a hit, you'll never be able to celebrate a home run. And you even got to celebrate a strikeout. Now, don't excuse it, but let it be an encouragement. When they go, I struck out. Yeah, son, you did. That's true. But you know what? This week, I'm going to practice with you. And we're going to see if we can't level that bat swing and get our eye on the ball. And if not, you're probably going to become a great computer guy like Bill Gates and own half the world. It's okay. Fathers, you got to celebrate when your son's playing the piano. And you're sitting there and you were a middle linebacker. And God gave you Liberace as your son. And you're sitting back there as a dad weighing 255 pounds. And your son takes your piano and mesmerizes the whole crowd. You got to go. Son, I had no idea what you did. But I am so proud of what you're doing. You played that piano like you were sticking some fullback coming right up the middle. And you know what he'll do? Thanks, Daddy. That means a lot when you say something like that. And if you were a wonderful man who just had all kinds of intelligence and you happened to get the middle linebacker as your son, as my father did, you know what my father did? He stood at every game. He never knew the game. Because my father worked since he was 6 years old. He grew up in the Depression. But guess what he did? He stood there. He said, son, I don't have to know what you're doing. He called it dirt rolling. He said, you look like you rolled a few of them in the dirt tonight. And I said, yes, sir. Now, this was interesting, though. When his grandson became a quarterback, all of a sudden, my intelligent father knew every stat of his grandson. I said, how do you know about the game now? He said, your son plays a very intelligent position. He said, you hit people. I said, well, let me tell you something, Pops. If it isn't for men like me, little paper boys like him never exist. Because all those little stats you read, those are from big guys who never get a date, blocking to keep them off the little guy in the back prancing around that gets all the dates. And that's just the way the world goes down. Huh? Proud no matter who they are. Amen? Isn't that right, Hemi? Somebody's got to block, right? Somebody's got to make a tackle. Somebody's got to pass out the water. I don't care what your children do. Please celebrate them. Does that make sense? Daddies, you've got to be the celebrator. And you've got to create a house that smells better than any pig lot the world will create. That's your house, Daddy. So come home. Fathers, equip and give. Fathers long at the end of the driveway for the best of their children. And fathers welcome home sons and daughters who've run astray. And they put the best robe on them and the ring of certainty with them, and they give them new shoes on their feet, because we're not going to walk in the pig lot anymore. God wants to do that right now. How many of y'all today need, you truly just need to get saved. You know it. God's already told you long before I started preaching today. Dads, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the greatest gift you could give your family. Be saved. Be saved. We've had people getting saved all day today, men and women. Men. Some of you today need to step up and say, you know what, Lord Jesus, I'm coming home today. I'm coming home. I'm asking you to come in my life and forgive me of my what? Sin. Now, here's where you need to be saved, because everybody's violated the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all will ride that far along with me? How many of y'all understand? Because I know some of you men are going, I'm a good what? I hear this all the time. I'm a good man. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good man. By George, I've given a dollar to the Kiwanis, and I've helped the Lions Club blind people out, and I helped some old lady across the street. And I'll cuss in private, and I drink in the basement. I am. Well, let me give you a definition of good. I've never worshipped anything or anybody but God. I've never borne false witness. I've never lusted or coveted. Now, if you're a man that can say you've never lusted, you a lying dog. That's called false witness. That's called violation of the first commandment. That's called, y'all know I'm telling the truth. There comes a time that we say, Jesus, I need you to save me. Because let me tell you what, there's only two types of salvation, and only one of them is genuine. Many of you will try to save yourself. You're going to think about how good you are, how many times you went to church, or how many times you didn't smoke, or how many times you didn't drink, or how many times you didn't say that. Called self-salvation. Every other religious tradition requires you to save yourself. If you're going to be a Buddhist, you've got to pioneer through the journey to get to the ultimate. You're going to be a Muslim, you've got to keep the pillars. You're going to be a Hindu, you've got to keep coming back and back till you finally get it right. Or you can say, God made me, God has given to me, God longs for me, and Jesus Christ created a way for me to come home. And today, you can walk out of here a daddy following Jesus Christ. How many of you today, I'm talking men and women today, how many of you all would love to just do this? Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? Sins. Come on, daddies, it's time to step up. Make sense? And before I get 100 emails on therapy, I want you all to know this. I'm putting a PS. I'm a full believer in therapy. I'm a full believer it works. What I'm talking about is a system that we've designed in America that needs to be evaluated. Well, let me help you all with this. Therapy's not inerrant. I've been studying it, and it's changed about 6 zillion times since I started with it. And it's because of this. We can help each other, but we can't save each other. Amen. So therapy helps, Jesus saves. Amen. Therapy doesn't save. Jesus. And there comes a time after you learn where you've been, you got to decide to go on past where you've been. And what I find in America, if you don't have a relationship, the only thing you can do is talk about all the awful things that have happened to you. And you die in the same spot you arrived. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is what I used to be has been crucified, and what I'm going to be has been brought to life. And now I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit has empowered us. Because the Holy Spirit, He will guide us to great truth. So today, won't you come and believe? There's a Father in heaven, and He loves you. How many of you all will let the Father in heaven, guess what? Love you. Make sense? Welcome home. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, right now. Right now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you draw people. I'm just going to ask that you all pray. I want you to get focused. I want you all to just get focused. You know if you have a relationship with Jesus. You know. And guess what? You know if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you don't, this prayer would help. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Today I need to come home. I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. What's He going to do? Come into your life. Forgive you of your sin. Know that He died on a cross. He's risen from a grave. Ask Christ to come in your life. Maybe you've already done that this week, and you know what? You need to be baptized, and you know you need to be baptized. You say, why is that important? Men, step up to the plate. Fathers, step up. Fathers, if you have not been baptized yet, I want to encourage you to do so, because guess what? That'll be the greatest witness you give to your kids. I follow Jesus, boys and girls. I follow Jesus, son and daughter. I follow Jesus. And I believe Jesus will take us through. We've had several fathers today receive Christ. Man, like I said, I'm excited. But I know God's not done in here. And if some of you know you're in the pig lot, man, what a great word today. You don't have to stay there. How many of you glad you don't have to stay there? Some of you are going, well, Steve, you're crazy. You can't get out of there. Come see. I tell you what, if you get out of the pig lot and don't like it, we'll put you back in there. How's that? You know what? I have never heard anybody say this. I have gotten out of that life of sin, and I miss it so bad. I have never heard anybody confess they miss their old life. I just never have. So let God speak into you, okay? Let's pray. Lord, there are going to be some people receive Jesus, and there are going to be some people come to be baptized right now. And I pray that every pastor be alert to who that's going to be. Open their ears and their eyes and their heart. Lord, I pray for people today that feel trapped in the pig lot that they come loose. And I pray for fathers, all of us fathers, Lord. I pray that you would give us the spirit of giving and that we would long for the best in our children. And Lord, that we would be a creator of a welcoming household, that our children know they can come back and get better. They can be at home. Jesus, I just pray for all of us right now, and I pray that you would bring us home. Home. For some of us today, home is going to be baptism. For some of us today, home is going to be that first connection with salvation. For some of us, home is just going to be a prayer of thanks. But I pray, Lord Jesus, you bring us home today. Amen. And so, church, I don't want anybody leaving right now. I want you coming forward if you're supposed to come forward. If you just need to be prayed over, if you just need to be loved on, this altar's for that. And I want you to know, daddies, I don't care what the situation is. If you've been divorced or whatever, you're still a daddy. And I want you to know you have a church community that's going to stand with you. And we're going to see our children get better. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to do something crazy. I want you to come pray. We're going to pay this building off. In the midst of an economic slowdown, we're still going to pay it off. So if any of you kids are like Pastor Steve and y'all been stealing your offering, you need to ante up. I'm going to ask parents, guess what? Give those kids $2 and let them start giving that. Let them know that God's going to do something great when they give. And I want you to give your life to Jesus right now. People are already giving their lives to Jesus right now. Church, let's let God have an altar that we would remember forever. Yes? So Jesus, draw us to the house, to the altar. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, may we worship. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church.